everybody, and welcome to another Recovery Radio broadcast recorded live at the Latal Recovery Center in downtown Moscow. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latal Recovery Center, located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latalrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can also find them on the web at latalrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health affects us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experiences, insight, and hope for continuing in recovery.
And I am Radio Johnny. I am a grateful recovered alcoholic. I'm recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And my trusty sidekick.
Hi. Right.
Co-host.
I am Denise, and I'm a grateful follower of Jesus and so happy to be in recovery today. And welcome, everyone.
Yeah, welcome. Mm-hmm. Welcome to our listeners.
Yes.
I've been getting some feedback, and turns out people really are listening to us and
Excellent.
Enjoying what they're hearing. So
good, good.
And if you want to comment on that, we do have an email address. You can email us at lrccrecoveryradio@gmail.com. Or you can leave a note on the Latal Recovery Center email, which is latalrecoverycenter@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comments, get some questions from you. Whatever works, be happy to hear it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we thought we'd talk about recovery during the holidays, which is always a challenge for people in recovery. Probably more so for people new in recovery, mm-hmm. who haven't learned the little tricks of the trade to stay safe, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
It is.
And I pulled up something off the web. I think it was from a website called Live Well or Live Wellness or something like that, but it really hits to the point. Denise, you want to start it out?
The holiday season is meant to be a joyous occasion that brings family and friends together, but even in the midst of all the excitement, there are often moments of stress and anxiety. If you are recovering from alcohol addiction, this broad spectrum of holiday emotions can challenge even your best intentions for recovery. Though the risk of relapse runs high during the holidays, it is not inevitable. If you are in recovery from alcohol addiction, there are steps that you can take to stay healthy and safe. Becoming aware of potential triggering situations and knowing how to prepare for them can help minimize your risk of relapse and allow you to truly enjoy your holiday season.
Yeah, and being prepared. I mean, that's absolutely the key to the whole thing. Because for a lot of folks, that first go around through the holidays is just really challenging. It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, if you're new in recovery, especially if you're in your first year or two, everything's kind of new. And doing, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and those holidays, it's your first time, probably in a long time, doing them sober. And so there are new things to think about. And that's kind of what we want to share with you are some things that you can think about ahead of time that could be helpful.
That's right. And start out talking about common holiday triggers. And the holiday season can be a triggering time for many reasons. Knowing your potential holiday relapse triggers is of utmost importance in any stage of recovery. Changes to your routine. People get time off work, travel to see their families, spend time preparing for the holidays, and often don't adhere to their typical routines during the holiday season. Your exercise routine, healthy eating patterns, and even your Alcoholics Anonymous meeting attendance may fall by the wayside. All of these disruptions can put serious stress on your sobriety.
Yeah.
And, isn't that a fact? You know, you get busy, if you're newly sober, you're trying to get back to being a participating part of the family or the groups you're involved with, and it may seem more important to you to work in that direction, and you can end up neglecting things mm-hmm. like just going for a walk.
Yeah. it actually makes me think of a story that someone told me recently. And so if you go out of town and you're staying at someone else's house, there's things like, you know, your food, like what you're eating, and that can affect things. Like, you know, your exercise, are you able to go to a meeting there? Like, your whole routine is different. Even were you able to sleep well there? You know,
right.
Because it's not your own bed, it's not your own routine. And when things like being tired or not getting the normal nutrition that you're used to change, and you're exercising your routine, even that can throw you into a bit of a loop that can be stressful.
Just getting out of your routine, because routines are so important. You know, we fell into a routine when we were using or drinking, and that's what we're trying to break.
Right.
So when you get out of your new routine, there's a big temptation to fall back into your old routines, were unhealthy.
Right, or even just getting frustrated with, like I said, if you're traveling, you're staying with family or in a hotel or whatever, you know, remember to maybe memorize that serenity prayer.
Right,
and
right.
Take a couple really deep breaths that actually is proven to help you if you actually just take some really deep breaths that helps calm you down. Because it can be a bit stressful. So being prepared for the fact that you might be up against some of those kinds of things, thinking about it ahead of time, could actually benefit instead of just being in that situation and freaking out.
Right, right.
And not understanding what's going on with you, you know, and blaming it on other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and just planning those things into it. Okay, I'm going to help prepare the holiday meal, but right before the guests get here, I'm going to sneak down to the Latar Recovery Center at noon, get in an hour meeting. I'll be in a good frame of mind when people show up.
Get all refreshed.
Etc.
Yeah.
And that moves right into the next one, holiday parties. The holiday season is a time of celebration, and gatherings are typically overloaded with alcohol. The sheer amount of alcohol present in some of these get-togethers can be overwhelming, especially if you're new in recovery. Well, no kidding.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Despite my best efforts, when I stopped drinking, the liquor stores did not close. The whiskey company and vodka company I frequented did not go out of business. And likewise, there was no parade for me in town. So, with all that in mind, the idea that alcohol ceases to exist in your life is just crazy talk. You know, it's always going to be around. There's always going to be an opportunity for, you know, someone to come up and offer you a drink. And they talk about it a little bit, you know, when you go to a party. They talk about having a pre-planned response for in the event, right? The holidays can be especially stressful for those recovering from an alcohol use disorder because alcohol is such a central part of many celebrations. If you expect to be offered a drink, think about how you'll respond. A simple yet firm no thank you is often enough, especially since long explanations and vague excuses can give you more opportunity to give in. So additionally, you can, you know, keep it simple. I'm not drinking tonight, or I have to get up early, have to get an early start to my day tomorrow. You can do the don't say a word. Keep a non-alcoholic drink with you during the party. This way, whenever someone tries to offer you alcohol, you can simply hold up your beverage, indicating that you're not ready for another drink. You can say, yes, I would love a drink. Can I get a water with some lemon or a Coca-Cola? Very few people will press anything alcoholic on you. But if they do, simply say, not right now, thank you, but a Coke would really hit the spot. You can try humor. This worked for me a lot. Remember, you don't need to announce your sobriety unless you want to. Depending on how comfortable you feel about the subject, you may decide just to tell the truth and be done with it. No thanks. Even the top shelf booze isn't tempting enough to me to make me throw away my sobriety. I used to tell people that I'm allergic to alcohol, and they'd say, really? And I'd say, yeah, every time I drink, I break out in handcuffs.
Yeah, misdemeanors and felonies. Really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can have some of these strategies up your sleeve to deal with that, because it does happen. I've told this story a million times, but I went to a bachelor party, fairly new in sobriety, and my friend, who knew I was sober, says, I know you don't want a beer or a drink, but I've got some cocaine in the bedroom if you want. And I wasn't exactly prepared for that. But, I was able to say, thanks, I think I'm good right now. You know, this coffee wires me up pretty good, so I'll be okay.
I mean, our frontal lobe cortex things aren't working correctly when we're doing cocaine. So, of course, we ask a question like that to our friend who is, not drinking. He might want a bump, you know. There we go.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is a pretty good story for sure,
it's
Johnny.
It's madness. It was madness. Yeah. But, you know, having a plan and knowing what to say, and there are other, issues that you can look at. Family stress during the holidays.
I do want to throw one other thing before we move into family stress. Well, and it can actually be a part of the family stress thing, but we've talked each year about making sure that you, if you can, drive your own vehicle so that you have an exit plan.
The exit plan, let's talk about that because that's probably the most simple, easy way of getting out of someplace.
Yeah.
You know, there's the old, what they call the Irish goodbye, which is you sneak out quietly when no one's watching.
Oh, yeah, it's on here. Okay. Yeah.
Because quite honestly, some of the parties I went to where my friends were drinking pretty heavily,
they don't even notice you're gone. Yeah. I mean, maybe later.
Yeah. Sometimes it's fun to hang out and be able to report to them on their behavior, but I waited till I was kind of deep into sobriety before I risked that because it can get pretty weird.
Yeah.
It says here, you can't always predict how a situation will play out or how you'll feel. Having an exit strategy for potentially stressful holiday situations is essential. Maybe your babysitter needs to get home, or you have to get up at the crack of dawn for an appointment, or nobody made it home to walk the dogs. You can even arrange for a friend to call during the event to add some credit to your out, Having a plan B ready allows you to be graceful and bow out if you have to. You know, like you said, drive your own car.
Yeah.
Even if you're going, with another family member, what I did early on is I just made arrangements with my wife. She was a big fundraiser for Children's Hospital down in Oakland. Yeah, she was involved in a fund-making group. She was one of the members. And there were a lot of events, and they all centered around alcohol. And I was always, obligated to, help set up, do whatever, to greet people, all that sort of thing. And we just made an agreement early on that when we go to these events, I would bring a book, the big book, or just another book, and leave it in the car. And if it got too weird, I would just disappear. And this is before cell phones. So if she looked around, she didn't see me, she'd know I was probably at the car hanging out.
Cool. Yeah.
And she could stay as long as she wanted. It was easy enough for me just to remove myself from the environment into a different safe place, the front seat of our car, and just sit and read for an hour, 2 hours.
Sure.
Great relief. And then, when I see people filtering out, I just would filter back in because I knew most of the, it's not that it was temptation as much as it just, I got really uncomfortable. As people start drinking and get louder and louder and louder.
Sometimes it's really only fun if you're a part of what, because honestly, when you look at it, you're just like, oh my gosh, what is.
Yeah, really.
Sometimes people are ridiculous.
Was this fun? Was this really as much fun as I thought it was?
Yeah, well, we were just,
Yeah, it's just a whole different environment. But so anyway, that was one of the plans I had. What other sort of plans did you put into place?
Man, I was actually really pretty lucky. I kind of took myself out of all of the old friend group. I got myself completely into a new environment. And so, my work, when I would go to work, parties and stuff like that. But I will back up and say that. So my what I'm in recovery for is pills and illegal substances and stuff like that. Although when I was on the drug court program here in Lataw for those 2 years, I wasn't allowed to drink, which I think was really good.
Right.
Because until I had the tools and some time to be able to figure out how to live life without a substance in it, mm-hmm. other than my cigarettes, I used to smoke, but yeah. I'm now a non-smoker. I think that that could have been a problem. So for those 2 years, I couldn't drink, but like my employer knew, and you know what I mean? Like it just, it wasn't really a big thing for me.
Right.
Although I do remember walking down, like in Safeway and walking down the aisle to go to like where the milk and the eggs and stuff are and thinking, man, you know, this would really suck if this was like I had to walk in the store to go get milk and eggs and I had to walk past pain pills and, you know, meth and yeah. all the other things. Like how, like I started to really have compassion for people who struggled in the area of alcohol because you can just go buy it, you know?
Right.
Shoot. I mean, the stuff that I did, you had to go to the drug dealer or things like that, you know? It wasn't right. just, the, you don't find it in the grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah, not typically.
So I didn't really run into too many problems. I'm trying to think of anything. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe sometimes I might have run into some people on the street a couple of times in recovery early the first couple of years, and it was a little uncomfortable, and I kind of just kind of had to get myself away from them because it was awkward being, like, passing somebody by walking.
Right.
Because I spent the first 8 months walking because I had lost my driver's license, other than when my husband would, you know, take me places. So this would be while he was at work, but right. running into people that were high, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little weird. So
I can imagine it.
I can't really remember. It's been a while, but I can't really remember, but it was just weird.
Just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, what do I really have in common with you anymore?
Yeah.
Now that, you know, we're not both using, there's right. nothing.
Right. You look ridiculous.
I don't relate to you, you at
look,
all.
Yeah. You look ridiculous. Shit. I look that ridiculous.
Yeah, well, and you're right, with alcohol, you know, just being able to, you know, walk into a store or go, you know, going to Safeway
and walking
down that booze aisle and the bottles are, hey, John, remember me? We used to have a great, they didn't really talk to me. I don't think they really talked to me. I think it was just in my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I guess it's a little different that way, but nonetheless, Here's something that's always kind of disturbed me. There's a phrase, California sober. That's where you stop drinking mm-hmm. and start smoking or keep smoking mm-hmm. marijuana because it's not alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I've heard of people that use narcotics, right? Well, right. I don't do meth or I don't do heroin anymore, but I still smoke a little weed. Mm-hmm. Well, I look at that and I go, you know, weed was my second love, but I had stopped smoking weed altogether years before I stopped drinking. But the thought of going back to it, or like my friend offering me, you know, some cocaine, right? The thought of using it in my head, I just went, well, I'm just swapping one bad habit for another. Yeah. Rather than altering my mind with alcohol, I can alter it with weed mm-hmm. or speed or, I mean, you know, you name it.
Cross addiction.
It, it doesn't really work to say I'm sober when I'm just in a whole different world, even if it was an addiction. I mean, I could walk away from cocaine. I could walk away from speed. Mm-hmm. I could walk away from opiates. It never had a grip on me like alcohol did. And, you know, I mess with all of them, plenty. So to trade one for the other, it's like, that's insanity. Also, I know what it would do. Mm-hmm. I would go, you know, this is good, but it's not as good as alcohol. I think I'll go get some alcohol.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's like we tend to make poor decisions when we're in that state of whatever state it
exactly.
is. And that's why I'm really grateful for the program that I was on for the 2 years, because it gave me the ability to walk it out without deciding. Because I'm pretty sure I would have found something. You know what I mean? Like I would have found something else to do.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Oh, well, I'm not doing this anymore, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I'd have dabbled all and train wrecked myself all over, you know, all right. over the place.
So. Right. Or you know, the alcohol, which lies to you and tells you it's okay, can also tell you, well, your back hurts. A couple of pills are not going to.
And that's kind of the
you.
Thing. I mean, I would say, you know, that drinking too much, I mean, it's pretty much proven. I don't care who you are.
Right.
But drinking too much and being drunk, you're not going to be typically, I'm not going to be typically in the best state of making the best decisions.
Right.
So in that place, if I'm in that place and I'm not around people who are watching out for me or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I might be more willing to do something I wouldn't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Still, if someone offered me Coke in the bathroom, I'd still probably run out screaming because I'm, you know.
Right, right.
So I'd be like, oh, geez, man.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't really want to find out, honestly.
Right, exactly.
I really don't want to know.
Well, and I've known people who their entire social life revolved around bars.
Yeah.
And they get sober and they go back into the bar, but they only drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so how did that work out for you? Well, it was horrible. All I wanted to do was drink, watching other people drink. And I'm drinking coffee. And most of them found out they couldn't relate to those people anymore unless they were drinking with them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, so I cut that out. And, you know, I started going to Sherry's and drinking coffee with other people in recovery.
Right. Yeah.
Much, much better time.
Much better. And then you're having a conversation on the same level of, you know, your cognitive being, or I don't even know how you put that, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
You're on the same conscious level.
Right.
Save me here, Johnny. What's the wording?
No, that's perfect. You're on the same plane. You're on the same level with the people you're relating to. Plus you're working together. I mean, whenever two people in recovery get together and talk about recovery, that's a meeting.
It is, really.
Whatever you want to call it. It's a meeting of minds. It's a sharing of ideas. It's a sharing of experience, strength, and hope, you know, which is why I love doing this hour-long show with you every week, because even if I get super busy, this show is the one most important thing in my life. It has almost caused a divorce in my family more than once when my wife says, we need to go do this, and I'm like, not on Thursday, you know, unless I know way in advance and, you know, we can work something out. But typically, you know, nothing interferes with this, because not only is it a service that you and I do for
other people,
the folks that we hope are listening and maybe getting something out of this, but it's a little selfish on my part, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we get to talk recovery.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's all over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are some of the thoughts on...
Yeah, and you were about to go into family stress.
Oh yeah,
family, I mean, because we can't do this without family stress. Because I just want to touch and say before you read that you know, 8 years into recovery, and there can still be family stress. I'm just saying. So do you want to read it?
There was family stress before.
Yep.
Yeah. So
that doesn't go away in recovery. It just gets better a little bit.
That's right. Under family stress, the holiday season is often about spending time with family members. If you have a strained relationship with your family, spending a significant amount of time with them could cause stress and even symptoms of depression or anxiety. Seeing your family could also lead you to feeling guilty or ashamed about the effect your previous addictive behaviors had on your loved ones. All of these emotions can be triggering, especially if you used alcohol or drugs to escape them in the past. So we talked about going back into old habits just because it's easy. For me, it was what I did for 40 years. And I'm going from age zero because I had these, you know, alcoholic tendencies long before I started drinking. You know, I had two popsicles, I wanted four. You know, as a little kid.
You're a little bit of a more kid. Like,
yeah.
More.
Oh, yeah.
I need more candy.
Absolutely.
Give me more. Give me more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't want one apple. I want two, even if I'm not going to eat the whole second one. Yeah. So, I mean, that the ism of alcoholism was working in my brain from the get-go. No wonder. You grew up in an alcoholic household where everyone was a more person. So, you know, easy to figure that out. But for 40 years, I lived in that mindset. What in the world made me think that a year or two or five or 10 into sobriety is going to necessarily change how I behave around my family, which was the environment that really, you know, got me into moving, which validated my, everybody drinks in the holidays, mm-hmm. you know, sort of thing. And I know my sisters are going to listen to this. I'm not really referring to you guys so much as just the overall environment of, you know, family and alcohol being there, whatever. You didn't hold a gun to my head and make me drink, so easy does it, guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just that whole thing, that whole holiday thing. And I didn't never really had a super stressed relationship with my family till I got near the end of my drinking career, where it was really obvious to everybody that I was a really bad practicing alcoholic and daily drinker and all that. And, you know, I'm sure it worried the crap out of them. Well, I was told it worried the crap out of at least some of them, mm-hmm. all of them. So once I got sober and made my amends with them, AKA what, you know, can I do going forward to change how this story of our relationship ends? Mm-hmm. And they, to a person, is like, just keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. We're happy with that. You don't owe us any back pay, you know, sort of deal. Just keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And we're happy. So that's what I was able to do with my family. Now, I know of a lot of people who just absolutely burnt the bridges into the river, sure. with their families. Mm-hmm. So that's the extreme the other way.
Sure, yeah.
And I'll tell you this right now to everyone who's listening. I have heard that most of those family issues with a lot of the people I know have been repaired. People talk about being invited back into their parents' home, which they were thrown out of. Mm-hmm. And told never to come back. I've seen those relationships healed. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the kind of cool thing. When I was reading this, I was thinking, yeah, I mean, like, you know, doing your 12 steps will help get you through dealing with family stress, honestly. I mean, it's what came to mind for me. And that is like getting back engaged with your family again. And as things come to you, you know, you're making apologies. But I mean, seriously, if you're working with a sponsor and you're going through your 12 steps, you're going to get to step four, right?
Right.
Yeah, where you're writing everything down, you're doing your inventory, and you can start thinking about these things. And so you're thinking about them. And then when the opportunity poses itself, I mean, it can just be kind of, I don't know if the word would be on the fly, but when there's a moment where, hey, you know, this is actually a really good time to take a minute and be like, hey, so I wanted to talk to you about something, see right. if it's okay, and then talk with that family member, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I know some people like to plan it, and that can be good too, to like plan a time and be like, hey, so-and-so, I'd like to sit with you and talk about these things and like get them. Because, you know, I mean, if it's something that you think your family member should be prepared for, that would be,
right.
that would be a good
right.
thing, especially right. if you're gonna do like specific hard things. But yeah, I mean, this family time, some of the stresses that come up, you can look at them and be like, okay, this is an area, like I'm feeling a certain way about this. And maybe the other family member is acting a certain way. And you're like, okay, what is this about? Think back,
right.
you know, and then figure out what needs to be said to clear the air for that.
Right, you know? Exactly.
I agree that they're looking at you going, yay. And that's how my family was. My family was right. like, yay, we're so happy.
Right.
You're in recovery. I think like with my adult kids, my daughter thought, yep, she's going to make it. My son wasn't so sure, mm-hmm. you know, but now he's seen that I've been yeah. doing good. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And no, one other scenario that needs to be addressed too is what if your family is still in an active addiction?
Right.
My suggestion to people who are in that sort of thing is don't go.
Yeah, I mean, you have to figure out what's a limited, safe way to...
Right, exactly.
If you even can interact.
Right,
so.
Yeah. And to talk to people who have been in that boat. That's one of the beautiful things about AA and the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. In my phone, I have well over a couple hundred telephone numbers mm-hmm. Of men and women in AA. And that's probably thousands of years or hundreds right. and hundreds of years of sobriety and experience that I can tap into. Mm-hmm. And if I'm just not sure, especially in a situation like that, where maybe dad's drinking and abusing mom and she won't leave the relationship, or, you know, like my parents both were drinking and, you know, getting out of control, is it safe for me to put myself in that environment? Or maybe I just make other plans. wish them well by telephone or something like that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what comes to mind is sitting with someone, talking with them, talking through like the situation so they can ask you good questions and figuring out, does it just need to be like, hey, mom, dad, I love you. I wanted to call and wish you happy Thanksgiving or Merry Christmas. There's a Christmas gift coming, whatever it looks like. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not able to make it. And you could or, you know, you might or might not say why, you know.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to, but it is good to be respectful and touch in if that's a safe thing to do. You know?
Right, right.
I mean, and you got to also be prepared. I've heard people who talk about, you know, they call their parents and then they're verbally abusive. For instance, I'm thinking of someone and they will be like, well, you know, it was really good to talk to you, but I'm going to need to go now. And they stay calm. And they've even told them in the past, hey, you know, like, I want to be able to talk to you, but if we go this way, I'm just going to politely let you go and talk to you next time.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, like you said, there's plenty of people in recovery that, you know, and as you get to know them, get their numbers, you can find out who can help out with certain things.
Right.
Talking
right.
them through.
Right. I had a sponsee call me up one time and say he was having problem with the situation, which I won't be specific about, and I had no experience dealing with that.
Right.
And I said, tell you what, hold on. And I put him on hold on my phone, and I called up my sponsor in California and said, hey, we're talking with a guy on the other line about this, and he said, you know, I don't have any experience with that. But hang on, he put me on hold.
Mm-hmm.
We called back, we damn near called all the way back to Bill W.,
right.
Before we found somebody who had an answer, and literally it came back through three or four forwarded phone calls to me, and then I was able to share it with this person. The answer's out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to dig for it,
right.
you can find the answer. I know when I first got into sobriety, I thought I was the coolest thing in the world. I had overcome this huge hurdle, and everybody should love me and be happy for me. But I'll warn the folks listening right now, that don't necessarily happen right away. Sometimes you just need to build that trust back up. You need to put yourself out there and just keep doing what you're doing until people are ready to come around. Sometimes they never will.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
the truth.
Keeping in mind that, like, whether, you know, you struggle with alcohol or, you know, substances, that during the times when you were using or drinking, you may not have recognized how you hurt people. That's
right.
Just, I mean, your brain is working in a whole different way than other people who are sober and dealing with the way you're talking to them or the things you didn't show up for or whatever that looks
right.
like. And I mean,
right.
it can be really hard. So,
yeah,
so I'm not aware of all the things and the times that I hurt people. I'm not. I know I'm not. I remember some of them. I can,
right.
But I know that there was much, much more. So.
Right, right. Just, well, and like for me, driving drunk out of my mind for years,
right.
I mean, I can never make amends to all the people I endangered on the road. Right. It would be impossible to just track them down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, living amends.
Yeah.
Don't drive drunk anymore.
Yeah, don't drive drunk. I remember in our MRT first step for drug court, we did this thing where we went through and community was part of it. Like the people that we worked with, our employers, community, and it was basically like, you know, same thing you were just saying. We affected people in our community by using drugs and driving, just you know, all those kinds of things.
Right.
And we stood up and like owned those things, you know.
Right.
Talked about all of the things that we did that we were aware of that we did wrong. And there was like 10 different areas that we went through.
Yeah.
Oh, one was like breaking the law, you know, that kind
right.
of stuff. Yeah.
Right. Because it's not always just, you know, our drunken or stoned behavior that offends people. You know, maybe the fact that you park your car on your neighbor's lawn, you were so high when you got home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is drunken behavior.
I mean, you could be being an idiot at the store. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, really. Or just, yeah. You know, even when you're not high.
Right.
Those isms, like I was talking about as a child, you know. Mm-hmm. I want two popsicles. No, you get one like everybody else.
Selfishness, that's another one.
Yeah, selfishness, Yikes. Self-centeredness.
Oof.
That we believe is the root cause of our problems. So, yeah, with family stress, each case is individual.
And yeah,
if you're not sure how to handle it, again, get a hold of somebody that will. Go to an AA group.
That's where your sponsor can be really helpful, your accountability people, because, you know, you can share, this holiday happened, and this is what I was thinking and feeling. This is how other people were interacting with me. And then maybe with that person's help, you can kind of peel through the layers of that and figure it
out. Exactly. And the truth of it is, the holidays can be challenging, but you know they don't have to end in relapse.
Yeah. Well, and
they don't.
I just want to also throw in there that, you know, take into consideration, even now, like I said, I'm 8 years now. Johnny over here has decades. And so some of the things for me that can be hard during the holidays is there's a money issue, honestly. I mean, you know, I've got 4 kids, 2 grandkids, my mom and my husband's family, and we go see his family. And so that's a handful of people. I got, you know, nieces and stuff. Johnny just hurt his elbow on the desk. Katie's trying not to scream. And so, you know, so like financially, you know, and then I take some time off from work, and then there's traveling and the gas and all these kinds of things. And that's a little stressful too, honestly. Even if I had like this fabulous amount of money to order all these things, it still takes time to, you know, figure out what we're getting everyone. And yikes.
Yeah.
You know, so like that is, there's more than just like the event that you're going to that has to do with the holidays. There's also the preparation for them and some of the organization stuff.
If you're having people over, if you're preparing food. But it's a good point about the money. And you probably will find that if you're getting sober, you know, giving up alcohol or giving up drugs in particular, you might find that you have a lot more money than you thought you
did. Kinda. I mean,
but the temptation for the ism to sneak in there is there too.
Right.
I've harmed all these people, so I'm really going to go crazy on Christmas and give them really good gifts to make up for. Right. That's not what most people want.
Probably not. No.
It's not you need, and it's not, you're not buying your way into heaven. It's time to step back and look at it. You know, use the Epicurean theorem, everything in moderation.
Yeah.
If the family's saying, we'd really love to have you come down to Arizona for the holiday, and you're looking at your bank account and going, credit cards are almost maxed out, definitely not enough money in the account to do it, maybe you have to postpone that and say, maybe we'll do Christmas in July or something like that.
Zoom Christmas time.
And you shouldn't feel bad about that. You're rebuilding your life right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're completely rebuilding it. You're going to be in situations that you have not had to deal with before. Mm-hmm. Just like going to a party and not wanting to drink or not be tempted by the alcohol. Of course, you're going to be tempted, but not ways to avoid it, just to minimize it. And again, if you need to go, that's a big thing about parties.
Yeah.
Do you need to go?
Yeah, if you're feeling like it's going to be a train wreck, maybe you shouldn't. You know?
Yeah, I ran with some guys that were just really, really party hardy drinkers and dopers. And early in sobriety, I just, I'm sorry, man. I've got other plans. I've got to go, meet somebody, and I got this thing. And I would make up excuses, you know. It's not being rigorously honest, but there was no need for me to tell them
all the things.
You're party animals, and you're risking my sobriety.
Right. You know, it makes me remember something on the flip side. So when I was going to NA meetings here in Moscow, basically over at Gritman, most of them, myself and my husband and my girls would go to like Thanksgiving that some people were having that were in very much involved in NA stuff.
Right.
You know, they probably had a couple of decades too.
Right.
And so that's what we did for the first couple of years for Thanksgivings and different kinds of events was we'd go there. We also did some other like, you know, the MMA fighting, and then we'd do a potluck. And so just getting in with people who were sober and clean and doing fun things with them. I mean, it was a really great time. We went to their nice house, and there's big TV and lots of food. And I mean, and so like connecting with people like that, you know, they were always gracious to invite people, you know, and that's just perfect. It's exactly the safe place for those beginning years that I needed. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can surround yourself with healthy people.
Yeah.
And that's
totally
awesome.
And it was
still
fun, you know? It was super fun.
That was the biggest thing when I got sober when I went into AA, I pretty much resolved myself to the fact that I was never, ever going to have fun again.
I know, right? It's never going to be fun again. What are we ever going to do for fun?
Yeah, what, you know.
I know.
I mean, because every, quote, fun thing I did mm-hmm. with my buddies started out with this sentence. Mm-hmm. Let's get all effed up right. and then, dot, 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 put your tragedy, potential tragedy mm-hmm. in here.
I know.
You know, well, my guardian angel was having a stroke, you know, and a nervous breakdown at the same time. It's like, God, I need a break.
She's really overworked. Can I get a raise?
Can you bring Jesus into this one? Because this is not... I don't know how many times I can pull this boy's butt out of the fire, but they did.
See, they run on a totally different supernatural thing.
Yes.
So it was okay, but it is definitely fun to joke about.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. So anyway, meetings. One thing I wanted to go over.
Yeah.
So you
look up a meeting in your area.
You know, if you're in a strange town and maybe you don't have a way to get to a meeting, if you've got a smartphone, you've got access to millions of meetings going on all over the world.
Yeah, just go to your app.
In every language. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just go on the web, look up AA meetings, mm-hmm. and go to the AA.org website. It'll tell you where meetings are, if they're mm-hmm. live. Thank God for Zoom. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can get a meeting. And if you can't do that, you can go on the web and look for what they call AA speaker tapes. Mm-hmm. Where people have recorded over years and years and years recordings of speaker meetings where speakers come in and talk and cool. share their experience, strength, and hope. Some of them are hysterical.
I'm sure.
I mean, but uplifting at the same time. That's they cool. turn tragedy, comedy is the other side of mm-hmm. tragedy in the coin. So can't have one without the other. But you can listen to these. You can download them. They've been digitized. And if you start getting shaky, dive into one of those. Right. It's easy. Put your headphones on, sit back in the room, and let the chaos ensue around you and just get centered in your head. Mm-hmm. And you might be okay.
Yeah. And since today is Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. we have to say Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah.
I want to say, I'm grateful for... our relationship that we've had. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Johnny.
I just want to let you know I'm grateful for the work you do on this and grateful to the Recovery Center
Absolutely.
For giving us a space. We're actually recording in the director's office right now
yep.
because the other space is being used for yep. other things. Grateful to Lee, the station manager at KRFP. For giving us this time slot mm-hmm. to put this this information out to people in recovery everywhere for keeping me sober today.
Absolutely, yeah, I'm in agreement with all that.
All right, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll wind it up for now. And remember, if you think you have a problem with alcohol or other drugs or mental health issues, you do.
Please tell us why you